September 21st, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. To the chief musician, to Judathum, a psalm of Asaph. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, and my hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remember God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? The writer of this psalm is in trouble and cannot feel the love of God. His prayer is not heard, and he cannot get any breakthrough. We all experience that. It could be because of our sins, or because we are going through such season. Verse 8 and 9. Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? So the writer starts doubting God. I can relate to these two verses very much, since I myself have to fight with my doubt, saying, will his promises really come to pass? Will he keep his word? Verse 10, and I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. So these verses are saying that we all have moments that our faith is weakened, but what we need to do in such time is to think how mighty God's hand is rather than what you're going through. Verse 11 and 12, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I would remember your wonders of old. I would also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Many things we see are temporary. For example, when Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac, I'm sure he was devastated. If you look at that part of only, you only see the hardship. But if you see the big picture, Isaac did not die, and Abraham was blessed richly in his covenant with God. Same as Job, and he went through even harder circumstances. He lost all his children, possessions, and even health. But God brought him out of the circumstances. When I started serving the Lord as an end-time prophet, I received the revelations, but I did not know how to share the messages with others. And I think it was around 1998, and everyone started using the internet, so I started writing my messages on the internet, but no one actually read it. I was hoping and praying that it will be featured on a Christian site on Yahoo, and I didn't know how you would get selected as a featured writer for the site. So I kept praying, and one day I discovered that my writing was being introduced in the end time prophecy section. And eventually, some readers came forth saying that he could help me to improve the web design. So when I'm going through something, I recall those years. When we have some hardship, you have to first examine whether you have any sins, of course, but if all the sins are repented and still going through some difficulties, you can recall those years and see how faithful God has been. Verse 14, you are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. God is God of wonders, and he often shows off his power by turning the table in the last minute. What we are teaching here does not agree with the majority of the Christians here, but since this is what God is saying, it will certainly come to pass, because what is right in the eye of God is not necessarily the same as what is right in the eyes of people. The Bible talks about the destruction of the temple, and the foundation of the temple is apostle and prophet, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. So I believe in the time to come, even the teaching of Jesus Christ will be thrown out of the church. Since people did not understand that God does signs and wonders, most of the Jews did not believe in Jesus when he was among them. Religious leaders at that time did not see that Jesus was the Messiah they were waiting for, so they killed Jesus. But when they thought they were done with Jesus, they were the one who were actually destroyed in the end. Verse 15 and 16. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. Here is a mention of water, and you know the water represents the works of the Spirit. As the Bible says, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. But this water is not of God, since it says the water saw God and was afraid. Verse 17 and 18. The clouds poured out water, the sky sent out a sound, your arrows also flashed out. The voice of your thunder was in a whirlwind, the lightnings lit up the world, the earth trembled and shook. When Jesus was on earth, all the unclean spirits were afraid of him. So if we walk closely with the Lord, the spirit of deception will not be able to harm you. Paul did not die after he got bitten by a poison snake, and Peter and John were able to cure all the sick people. It is because they were all possessed by the Spirit of God and the power of God. Like I told you before, I went to a revival meeting held by Rodney Howard Brown. And before I went, I prayed to have the spirit of discernment and not to have any unclean spirit influencing me. It turned out that it was inspired by the demonic spirit, but I came out of the conference unaffected. So if you follow God, you will not be deceived by the demonic spirit. You can learn about the flooding of demonic spirits from the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. In there, God says, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Breath of life is the Holy Spirit. So God is saying that those who have the Holy Spirit yet choose to be dictated by flesh, God will destroy such Christians. So this is the judgment God will have upon the Christians. But those who built the ark like Noah will be saved. And the ark is the ark of covenant, which is the presence of the Lord. And as you know, the deceivers always deceive people with good news. Same thing with the demonic revival, for they will try to hook you with the catchy promises to set the captives free and bring you the healings. And those who are deceived by such revivals are the ones who do not know the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord. Verse 19, your way was in the sea, your path in the great water, and your footsteps were not known. Like I said, the water represents the Spirit, so God's way and God's path is in the sea and in the water. And Jesus said, the path to life is narrow. The path is in the water means the door must also be in the water. You will find the door only if you are led by the Spirit, but the natural eyes and the carnal mind cannot find it. And what I also learned from the Spirit is that teachers and pastors are truly dangerous work. Jesus said to the Pharisees, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more child of hell than yourself. So if you're taught by a wrong teacher, you will also go to hell, and you don't even know it. You don't want to spend the entire life being faithful to the wrong teacher and end up in hell. The Catholic is a good example. They don't understand the word and they don't read the Bible. And that's why they can say irresponsible things like there's no hell to people. Those priests don't know that they will be judged and will go to hell for leading people to hell. So, as the verse says, if you want to find the narrow path by following God, you have to walk into the water and sea. You have to walk into the sea and of the Holy Spirit. And those false teachers do not know the Holy Spirit, and they don't know the path. That's why they can say those irresponsible things. The verse also says, and your footsteps were not known. It is easier to follow the footsteps, but God does not leave visible footsteps, so you must be led by the Holy Spirit. You cannot rely on your understanding. Verse 20, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Jesus himself said the lawyers and Moses of their time, since that they are the keeper of the law. Lawyers are Moses of their time, since they are the keeper of the law, and Aaron is a high priest. Only the descendants of Aaron were able to become the high priest. I guess in a modern time, the law keeper would be the Bible scholars, and the high priest would be pastors of the church. God loves his sheep, and he gave Moses and Aaron to take care of the flock. I have never cared for sheep, so I don't have any personal experience, but I hear that sheep is very fragile animal and get sick and die easily. They really need shepherds. And we the Christians are the same. God does not want a Christian to be independent. Christians need to be in the church and rely on each other and being shepherded by the spiritual leaders of the church. And that is what God says. So us being part of a church and being involved with the church's work is the will of the Lord for all of us. So if people want to come to our church and want to fellowship with us, I will be more than happy to be there to strengthen you and to encourage you. And I myself am a sheep too, in a sense that I also cannot do anything on my own. So I also need other people, and that is the will of God.